prayed you have learned a lot this morning in Sunday school. We had some real good discussion this morning. Thankful for that. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you into our 11 o'clock service, praying that you will obey God's Spirit this morning, and we'll have a good time. If we all obey the Lord, we'll have a good time this morning. For any visitors here, I'd like to welcome you. This is Gold Town Church. You're welcome. You mind the Holy Spirit, and you'll have a good time here this morning. So I think the first thing I'm going to do before I forget it, Rob wanted me to read an announcement here that's in your bulletin. There's a fellowship dinner next Sunday, August the 18th, immediately following worship service. Now, we will also be hosting a cornhole tournament. Sign-ups and teams or two or more will have a partner. We will find one for you. There is $5 per person entry fee with prizes for the winning team. Please sign up with Chuck Bumpus today by the end of morning services if you want to do that. So, got that out of the way. Next thing we're going to do, we're going to take up a morning offering. Get that going this morning. So, let's all stand for that. We'll have Jim, you pray. The offering, pray for people's hearts this morning if they got someone on it. Bless you, Jim. Remind you that the choir's come to sing. Testimonies are in order. God gives you testimony, you need to give it this morning. So, come on, Chris.
Turn the monitors up, brother. Turn them up. We all got our hearing aids on today, and we're having trouble. Let's try that again. I will say, though, I got new bifocals, and man, I can see. Hallelujah, I can see. I just can't hear.
Work on that next.
Here we go. We'll try that again, all right? Follow me. Watch me. Watch me. Okay?
I never seen or done. How could
64.
Bless you.
Oh,
name above all names, blessed Redeemer.
Too bad. Because it really just unnerves me when they do that. Yes. But I'm just glad. I'm glad that my Heavenly Father can give us that kind of peace in this world. Whether we're going through a heart cath, or we're going through any other kind of a test, whether we're going through cancer surgery, whatever it may be, that He can give us that kind of peace and calmness in our lives, when we have to face those things. Because we know He's bigger than any problem that we ever have and will ever have. And I'm just so thankful for that veil. I'm thankful that that veil was torn that day, and I have access to the Father.
Yes.
Bless you.
Bless you, Pat.
Bless you.
She's in good hands. Yeah. The Lord's not only going to be with her, but she has a real good Christian doctor that's going to be with her also.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I admire his witness. And I've had to use him several times, Chris, and every time he gets ready to do his procedure, we always have prayer.
Amen.
And, she's got a greater physician that's going to be with her.
Amen.
I just want to pray.
Thank you. Bless you.
It was tough on this old body, but I tell you what, when they gathered around and they were singing Christian songs on the campfire, crying right inside anyway, there were times that I couldn't even sing because I was being so blessed to see this group of kids. I mean, giving it all. Giving it every bit that they had.
Right.
But I'm thinking, sometimes we might just need to build a little fire in here, turn out the lights, and just gather around, because that's what it took last weekend for those 50 to 60 kids over there. I tell you what, I may have been the 40-plus in that bunch, but I enjoyed it just as much as they did, because I got the blessing of seeing them partake of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And as they start back to school tomorrow, guys, please just let them up. Tom County starts back tomorrow, and I think Jackson starts back next week, but these kids face a lot more than what we did at that age.
Amen.
And I tell you what, when you get them here, I'm guilty of a lot of you too, not getting back on Sunday night for Wednesdays or whatever, but we got to get them here.
Right.
Yeah. Just lift them up in the morning. And I know Satan's going to make it real tough for the parents, trying to everything taken care of in the morning, but just give us kids a peace. But if you could just experience it. I mean, come on for Wednesday nights. These kids know what we're talking about. They may not act like it sometimes, and they may maybe seem like they're going 50 million directions, but they're picking it up, guys. They watch us. But come on for Wednesday nights. Or come visit the retreat when we do it next time. And I'm telling you what, these kids will bless you. Jordan stepped up last weekend. And I mean, he may be 6 foot, whatever. But that kid really blessed me last weekend. And Jaylee and Taylor, to see what they are becoming tonight, men and women. But I just want to, I don't know, I'm just overwhelmed right now because I lived on that all week, seeing those kids. But I just pray for our kids in the following weeks.
Amen.
A lot of churches today,
and I see it a lot going out traveling singing, they don't have an altar. They don't talk about the blood. You're not going to make it to heaven, folks, unless your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You can't take it out. It's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the same Bible I read. It's in the book. You cannot take it out. You cannot get saved unless your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad we have an altar and we still talk about the blood, because without it we would be lost. Still today. I love this song. The blood covered it all. Amen.
Calvary's blood to cover.
Lord. Shout.
Bless you. It's important for us as parents to make sure our children don't miss heaven.
Amen.
It's very important.
Yes, it is.
Very important. And I talk to my boys about it all the time. I just like for them to tell me. It makes me feel good. Whether I had anything to do with it or not, God gave them to me, and I had a responsibility.
That's right, Chris.
To make sure they knew about him. And I'm thankful for that. Get your hymnal. Turn to page 55 as the choir goes down. Let's all sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning brings eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when and Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun, Let us all come, all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Prepare your heart for the word. I used to live by this family, and they were precious. They still are. When we moved up there, we become friends, and we've been friends ever since. Steve, you come on up. I want you to lift him up in prayer. The more that we pray, the more we back the words, the better that he can preach. So you pray for him, Brother Steve Brentz. It's a pleasure to have him and his wife and his mother with us. Bless you.
Appreciate you, brother. Chris told me how to do this. Let's make sure I do it right. I see a red light. That must mean something. We're glad to be here. I never take it lightly to stand in a pulpit. We think about people standing at places and teaching others. It's different than standing somewhere in a college room, a professor teaching from behind a desk. It's different than a high school teacher or a grade school teacher, thank God for them. But it's different when you stand behind this pulpit. Because all these ones who are here are expecting something from the Lord. When you stand behind the pulpit, you're supposed to have something from the Lord. It's not just getting up and saying something that everybody might like. But it's getting up and saying what the Lord has put on your heart. This is not a new message to me. I preached this a few weeks ago at another church, a couple weeks ago, because I think it's a message needful in our day. It is a message that, when I think about it, how far it seems that some have gotten away from truth. I'll be the truth of this message in the book of Nehemiah. If you want to turn there, you can turn there this morning. Nehemiah chapter 1. We sometimes think in order to have revival, it's when we feel our best, when we feel that joy. And listen to me, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. As Christians, we are to rejoice in the Lord. I understand that, amen? We are to rejoice in the Lord, but I think there needs to be something else that we need to have as children of God. The rejoicing, yes, but there needs to be, I believe, and I think about it, we, in many churches today, all the emphasis is on feeling good. Hey, there's nothing wrong with feeling good in the Lord. When you get a good shout in you and you want to praise God, that's what we ought to do. And it ought to be from the heart, amen? It's not for anybody else to see. It's for the Lord. I heard one preacher say, it's not how high you jump, but it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground, amen? And so often that's what it is in the Christian life. It's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk in your Christian life. Paul said, walk circumspectly. Walk straight. Walk in the things of the Lord. But what I think today a lot of churches are missing, in many churches today, is not so much the joy, because you see they have there's those tears of joy, I believe, that we're shedding at the altar that Chris talked about, God, that there needs to be some tears of anguish also for the shape that our nation and our churches are in today, so many of them. You see, if we ever want to have revival, I think we're going to have to go back to what Nehemiah did here to have revival. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 1, we want to look at Nehemiah here. And first of all, I want to look at the first four verses of Nehemiah. And I'm going to read those. And it says, in the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach or shame. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The Jews had been in captivity over 70 years. It's over now. And some of them had went back to Jerusalem. And some of them had stayed basically in captivity. Some of them had went back. And maybe they began to build some things there. Maybe they started the walls. Maybe they started the temple again. And they'd become discouraged. And they had sat down and went to their houses and nothing was being done. Jerusalem was left wide open for the enemy to come in. I think we can get a message out of this. Amen. I think we can compare this to our lives and to our country and to our churches if we don't watch. He's talking about the devil this morning and how he can creep in and he can start to cause some problems. But bless God, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We have to understand that as children of God, that we have a great God. But anyway, Nehemiah was faithful to his job, just as anybody here ought to be faithful to their job and what they're doing. Amen? I mean, he was all, working for the king there, had a pretty good position. I don't think he had a whole lot of job security. He was the cupbearer for the king. And what he did when he bore the cup, he would have to take a little sip of it before, you know, he served it to the king just to make sure there was no poison in it. I mean, his job went from day to day. Amen. That's about it. Wasn't a whole lot of job security there. But he was faithful in what he did. But as faithful as he was, he never forgot his people. He never forgot his country, Jerusalem. He always had them in his heart. He longed for his nation, in a sense, as it once was. When he heard this sad news, how bad news here and sad news affected him. He longed for his nation to be as it once was. Do we not long for our nation to be as it once was? Do we not wish for the walls to be rebuilt? Do we not wish to see an awakening amongst God's people and a revival in our country and where it would clean up from the White House, bless God, to our house? We need a cleaning up of our country. When I look around and I see the things that are going on and we see the shape that our country has gotten into just in the last 30, 40 years, whatever you want to say, wherever it all started, we see it's getting, well, the Bible says it would wax worse and worse. Jesus said it would grow worse and worse. We're seeing it growing worse. And what are we going to do? Say, well, revival times are over. Bless God. We serve the same God that we served, that they served years ago. The same God that they served back in Pentecost when God sent the Holy Spirit of God in power and 5,000 souls were saved. Yeah. Same God. He hadn't lost any power. His arm's not shortened that he cannot save. Amen. He can still save. Oh, we need to realize that. We can say, well, the revival days are over. If that's the way we feel about it, then the revival days are over.
Right.
We have to trust the Lord, amen. We have to allow Him to have His way. We have to realize God hasn't changed.
Right.
He heard of the people's affliction and reproach, the shame they were in. Have we looked around us and seen the affliction of drugs and the affliction of alcohol and the affliction of all the sins of our world? Well, it's just the day we're living. Oh, it should, as it did Nehemiah, as we'll see here in a few minutes with Nehemiah. It drove him to his knees.
Amen.
If anything lacking in churches today, I tell you what it is, it's prayer.
Amen.
Praying. Praying.
Amen.
Praying is dependence upon God, not our flesh.
Right.
When we allow Him to have His way, how the walls had been broken down. We see our walls, the sanctity of marriage been broken down, the sanctity of human life with abortion, the importance of the home, the beliefs of man's origin in evolution and all the things that have been taught. These walls are being broken down. The walls of God's creative order when it comes to marriage and so on. These walls have been broken down in our culture, in our world. Is our heart broken? Are we, as Nehemiah, when he heard this news, he didn't let it like water off a duck's back roll off.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked at it and he realized he needed to do something. No work for the Lord will ever be done until we see our condition and the condition of others.
Amen. Amen.
No work. I want to see revival, brother.
That's right.
And revival starts here in a church.
That's right.
Well, it starts right here.
Yeah.
There was one preacher years ago who said, I want to see revival. And he drew a circle around himself and he said, Lord, start right here in this circle. Amen.
Amen.
Start right here in this circle.
Yeah.
Oh, as God's people, we need to crave revival. No walls will ever be built until we weep over the ruins of our nation. What Nehemiah did, he was weeping over the ruins of his nation. When he thought on the condition, he fasted and prayed. Oh, how we need to just sometimes just sit down and close our eyes just for a moment and just think on the condition that we're in. And the things that are happening. When we get it in our hearts, we'll do something about it.
Yeah, that's right.
As children of God. It will cause us to seek God's divine help. When one gets the burden, nothing in a sense, this world will matter to us. It didn't matter to Nehemiah here. He had a good position. I mean, really, he was cupbearer to the king. Lived nice. Had a good job. But when he heard the bad news about his country, he forgot all about his job, Brother Al.
Right.
He forgot all about what he was doing. He forgot about his job security. He forgot about the plush living he may have had staying there in the castle, eating the king's food, living a nice life. He forgot all about it. When one gets the burden, the things of this world will mean nothing to him.
Exactly.
Just like Moses. I mean, he was a prince in Egypt. Think about it. He was a prince in Egypt. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Right.
You see, the pleasures of sin only last for a season. That's our lifetime if we don't come to Christ.
Yeah.
If a person doesn't get saved, I mean, those pleasures only last a lifetime. That's the season. And we don't know how long our season might be, amen? It may be a short season. It may be a long season. We don't know. Only God knows that. It's all in His hand. Many don't want to see it. I don't want to watch the news, people say, because out of sight, out of mind. The only reason I watch the news is basically to see just where we are at. how we need to pray, what's going on in our world. And then compare it to this and say, well, yeah, things are lining up. Jesus is soon coming, amen? The Lord is soon coming. What can we do until He does come, right? So often it's out of sight and out of mind, but the Apostle Paul said, knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Christ is coming. Nehemiah's prayer, verse number 5. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. First thing we have to do is recognize who God is. Who God is. He's not the big daddy in the sky, amen? He's not my... so many people want to bring God down to their level. God, we can't bring God down to our level. God is almighty. God is all powerful. He is the God of heaven, as Nehemiah said here. He placed him above every other false god which would have been there in the Persian Empire. He said, this is the God of heaven.
Amen.
The powerful God. The God who hung the stars and the planets, the sun and the moon in its place. And the earth just in the right spot to take advantage of all those things. Amen? He prayed to him, who is like unto thee, it says in the book of Exodus, O Lord among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, knowing that God can do and give us hope. When we realize what God can do, it gives us hope. It gave Nehemiah hope that the walls could be rebuilt because he is the God of heaven. Amen. He is the God of heaven. He had hope. He knew, you know, we think about Nehemiah had a job there in the Persian palace there, the king Artaxerxes, and if you think about it, he never forgot. He must have been studying yet about the things of Israel, the things of the Jews. Because he knew all about them. He wanted to know what was going on with them. He hadn't forgotten them, even though he was enslaved. His thoughts were on his people, and his thoughts were on the Lord. Oh, how we need to have a burden for the lost. We need to have a burden for those who are in shambles, whose lives are in ruins, whose walls have been torn down in their lives. And many people we know probably, I know we know people, even in our own family, who they've allowed the walls to be torn down in their lives. And they have succumbed, in a sense, to the things of the world. And their walls are laying in shambles. And oh, how we need to, as Nehemiah did, get to our knees and do some weeping for them. First Chronicles said, we talk about God, He keeps His promises. That's what He told him here in verse number 5. He said, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant. That's His promises.
That's right.
Keeps His covenant and mercy. He'll keep His covenant. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Is that in there? Yeah, pray. Pray's in there, amen.
Yeah.
And humble themselves and pray. And then it goes a little deeper than just the now lay me down to sleep type praying, amen. It goes a little deeper because they said, and seek my face.
Right.
That's in prayer. That's in prayer. That is seeking God's face. That is seeing God for who He truly is. And once we see God for who He is, we'll see ourselves for what we are. Amen?
Yes.
Isaiah said, I saw God high and lifted up, and His glory or His train filled the temple.
Right.
And when Isaiah got a glimpse of God and he saw God for who He truly was, he said, I am a sinful man with undone lips.
Right. Right.
Oh, if we could just seek God
right.
and see His face and see who He is. what he is. God is faithful. God is holy. God cannot be looked upon in the human flesh. We cannot look upon him. No man shall see his face and live. That means in the flesh. Now he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, that we might experience his power and his presence. When he, the comforter, the paraclete is called, the one called alongside of to help us.
Right.
Amen. That's what Nehemiah was relying upon. You know, God has always kept his covenant, his promises. He kept it in our salvation. Whosoever is called in the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we've done that, we got saved. Amen.
Right. Right.
When we repented of our sins, trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, he saved us.
God
is faithful in answering prayer. He said, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. If we do our part, God always does his part.
Amen.
Amen. Nehemiah said, Lord, if you'll remember here, he said, I beseech you, Lord, one that keepeth covenant. Then he goes on a little later, we'll read here. Remember. Lord, God keeps his part if we do our. He keeps his part in guiding us. Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Amen.
Right.
We do our part, we trust him. He'll do his part, he'll guide us. You see, God always does his part. God always does his part. In giving us the ability to do his will, God will do his part. He told Isaiah, wait upon the Lord, and you shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God said, if you wait upon me, you can do all these other things. God will do his part.
Amen.
Oh, as children of God. God is faithful.
Sure.
Nehemiah realized that. And when realizing it, he just didn't realize it. He was going to do something about it. Amen. He was going to be faithful, brother, sisters. He was going to be faithful. He was going to follow the Lord. Prayer is the right way to get action.
Amen.
Amen. Peter found that out in a quick way, didn't he? When he's walking upon the sea and he began to sink, and he got up around his waist and his neck. He said, Lord, help me. I mean, it don't have to be eloquent. Peter didn't say, oh, thou most holy, omnipotent, mighty. Peter said, help me, Lord. That's all prayer has to be. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is just expressing our desires, our needs to the Lord. And the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to seek help in the time of need. That's what Nehemiah was doing. He was coming to seek help in the time of need, brother. He had a need. The walls had crumbled. The gates were down.
Right.
Oh, do we see the need today in our families? We see the need today in our world, in our America. Do we see the need that the walls have broken down? The walls are for protection. The gates are to keep out the enemy. God will act on the behalf of others if we'll be called upon him. Verse number 6, he put himself in the proper place. You see, he put God in his proper place first. He said, God of the heavens.
Yeah.
Then he put himself in his place. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant,
right,
which I pray before thee now night and day. He said, so you see, you put God in his proper place, and when you put God in his proper place, we'll be put in our proper place. Amen? We realize that we're but servants for the Lord. Paul called himself a servant in all of his epistles, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, greatest preacher that ever lived. Before the Lord will hear us, we must approach him in this way. God will not hear us if we do not approach him in a humble manner. That's what the Scripture says. That's not the gospel according to me. That is what the Scripture says. In Psalms, it says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit, a humble spirit, broken spirit. Isaiah 57, 15, and thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, he's saying, Nehemiah, I see your brokenness. Nehemiah, I know that you have a burden for your country. I know you have a burden for your people. Now, what are we going to do about it? Amen? Oh, that we would get that burden. For all those things hath mine eyes made, God said. All those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. How long has it been since we trembled at the word of God? Amen? Oh, this word is precious. This word is God's word. This word is truth. I believe every bit of it from cover to cover. I even believe that part says genuine leather on the back. Amen. I believe it all. It's God's word. He put himself in the proper place. His prayer was persistent. A lot of times we pray and we just kind of, you know, forget about praying and maybe the next day. His prayer was persistent. He said, I pray what? In verse number 6, day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants. He put them in the right place too. Amen. He put them in the right place. Thy servants can confess the sins of the children of Israel. How long has it been since we confessed our nation's sins? How long has it been since we confessed our leader's sins? Oh, God, forgive our leaders. Oh, God, forgive the people in this country that have turned their back on thee. Oh, God, do something. Nehemiah is saying, start in me. It involves confession, verse number 6. He said down the last part of that verse, He didn't look around and say, they have sinned. He included himself and says, I. Oh, how often we want to look and point the blame at somebody else, and we want to say, their sins are much worse than mine. No, sin is sin. Sin is sin. It only took one to send Jesus to the cross. Just one. Because no man could get into heaven with sin, because there's nothing the Bible says that shall enter that and defile that place. Jesus had to pay for it. Jesus had to pay for it with the blood. Amen. I have sinned. Psalm 51:4 is David after his sin with Bathsheba. He said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He's saying, Lord, it was me. It was me. When the Spirit of God speaks to our heart and we become convicted of sin, God, yeah, David was a man after God's own heart. We know that. The only reason he's after God, it showed he was after God's own heart, because when he did do something wrong, he confessed it. He confessed it. David was not perfect. We know that. Neither are we. Neither are we. That I have sinned. God not only keeps promises, but he is merciful. Our nation has sinned. We can see it. Listen to me. God hasn't changed. He can do something starting right here in Gold Town, West Virginia. He can do something with this church. He can move in might and power that we may have never seen. I remember as a boy in some of these country churches out of Goodwill Community where I was raised as a boy, and I can see those revival meetings and people shouting up and down the aisle and waving their hankies and praising God and whoo, and getting in the Spirit, amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Amen. You see a little bit of that here, amen? That's good. Oh, but my friends, we need to also get not only the spirit of joy, but the spirit of anguish for the lost. And the broken down walls that Satan has instigated. God will never restore the walls until what destroyed them is cast out. Amen. The body will never be healed unless the disease that has it is first cast out. Right? That's the way it is. Confession always comes before restoration. In that verse again in 2 Chronicles, if you seek my face, then turn. Because you don't have the power to turn unless we have the power of God to turn. And that's from seeking His face. That's from spending time with the Lord. Oh, how much Satan has, like Egypt. Whenever Moses went into Egypt, and I want to close here in a few minutes, but when Moses went into Egypt, and the children of Israel began to say, we want to go out and worship the Lord. Moses told Egypt, told Pharaoh, we just want to go out here and worship the Lord. And what did Pharaoh do? All right, he got his taskmasters together, and this is what he said. The children of Israel have too much time. They're thinking about their God now, so what I want you to do, don't give them any more straw for their bricks. They can go out and gather their own straw. Now, what was he doing? Same thing Satan's doing today. We start thinking about the things of God, and we want to start coming to church faithful to the services. Listen to me. Satan's going to say, all right. Pharaoh's going to say, he's a picture of Satan. He's going to say, listen to me. They got too much time. They're thinking about God. They're thinking about getting faithful with God. They're thinking about doing more for the Lord. Give them a new device, amen. Give them something else they can peck around on. Huh? And I've got one in my car. I'm not against them. I'm just saying, folks, that's all secondary stuff. That's all temporal things. We need to be thinking more on the eternal things of God. God not only keeps His promise, but He is merciful. When we think about how merciful God is, it ought to drive us to our knees in thanking God for His wonderful mercy. Not only that, but He reminds God of His words in verses 8 through 10, and I'm hurrying on. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now there are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hands. He reminds God of His words. And my friend, when we go to God in prayer, we need to remind Him of His words. You say, well, God knows His word, but you're to claim His word in prayer. Lord, you said, if two agree on earth as touching anything and whatsoever they shall ask, Lord, it shall be done unto them. You promised that, Lord. I pray that prayer every night for my wife. We've got two boys that are out of fellowship with God, and we pray every night, oh, Lord, your word says, if two agree on earth, and we kneel there side by side, and we pray, and we say, Lord, remember what your word says. Yes. And God does.
Amen. That's the
God remembers in His work of salvation. He finished it in Christ when He raised His head and He said, it is finished, and bowed His head and died and gave up the ghost. He finished salvation. Yeah. You can't add to it. It's all done. You can't do anything to get it other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can get saved. God is faithful. When he works in our lives, because Paul said, being confident in this very thing, that which he begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He was faithful. He reminds God of how he delivered his people in verse number 10 out of Egypt. My friends, he can do the same thing for America, who I believe back in its day when it was established as a nation, I believe it was set up on the foundation of the Word of God. We've gotten away from that. It is God that sets up civil government, and we as God's people are the one that makes sure that government stays civil, bless God. Oh, but you don't get mixed up in politics. Some of the first shots fired back in the American Revolution were by people out of a church, and the minister was part of the Black Robe Regiment, which was a group of preachers who fought in the Revolution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Got your rifle ready, brother? I might go to jail for saying that. Huh? Last thing, and I close. He ends his prayer with a personal request. As he had meditated upon the condition of his nation and he thought about it, he seen the ruin and the shamble it was in. He wants God to manifest his power and his light to be able to do something about it. So he prays in verse number 11, "Oh Lord," he prays for himself now, "Oh Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this king." No. He didn't say king. He said in the sight of this what? Man? He realized that king and had any more power than any other man in the hands of God. Because my Bible tells me in Proverbs 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth whithersoever he will. God can do mighty things. It doesn't matter who's in power. If we get where God wants us, God will do wonders among us. He recognized his employer was just a man, not a king. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Paul said. Mm-hmm. His job and his personal ambitions were no longer important. Oh, and I pray God help me, that nothing would be more important in my life than serving God. That nothing would get in the way, because Satan wants to distract you. Every one of us. Lord, he says, don't give them any straw. Let them gather their own straw. They're thinking about you, Lord. I've got to do something now to distract them. More activities. More things of the world. We've got to beware, Christians. Brothers and sisters in Christ. He had resolved in his heart to do what God would do through him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can see the walls rebuilt of our country, I believe, starting right here in Gold Town. Amen? Amen. Starting right here in this church. If we'll say, Lord, and if we will think on the condition that things are in round about us, and our heart wells up in us in brokenness and anguish, to where it drives us to fasting and praying as it did Nehemiah. You see, a lot of people, I may be wrong on this, a lot of people believe fasting is set aside a time not to eat. I don't see it that way. I see fasting coming when you get so burdened for something you don't want to eat. That you can't eat. That your heart is broken so that food no longer tastes good. But the word of the Lord tastes better. And the things of God will nourish. The things of God will strengthen. And we know the story of what Nehemiah did. And I'm not going to get into that, but the walls were built. Because it all started right here on his knees in prayer. Amen. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe Chris wants to come up and get a song or something. And maybe there's a time when we just need to say, Lord, help me to see the condition our world is in. Lord, I think what happens so often, if we're not careful, we become callous to the things that are happening. We see so many killings and we see so many things happening today that we say, oh, well, it's the reality we're living in. But listen, we have forgotten that God never changes. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same as he was in Nehemiah's day. As Chris comes with a song and sings a song, somebody, whatever you're going to do this morning, maybe you want to come and pray. Thank God for an altar. A place you can kneel down at and say, Lord, help me. Burden my heart, O God, with the ruins of our nation. Go ahead, folks. Sing your song.
You want to come and pray? Come.
Let's all stand.
I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his great clothes.
You may know somebody that.
Then I turned thee to a garden where old Joseph left him laid.
Amen.
The precious Lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him,
resurrection
deep inside. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you. to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? Just one step in His direction, then in love He ran to me. If you like I know Him, you would know that He's alive. If you felt Him like I feel Him, resurrection deep inside, you know He's.
Our practice.